Gay SA Radio.
Welcome to the show. I'm so glad that you could stream in. We have Avery Spilker in studio today. Avery, how are you?
Hi Nazo, I'm great. Thanks so much for inviting me into today's show.
Thank you for coming. I feel like this is such an important topic that we're going to discuss today. By the way, that was JR with 4-4. You know, you have to give our brothers and sisters credit for the work that they do. So that was JR the 4-4 if you are interested in getting that song. But back to our discussion about polyamory. Tell us a little, well, before we talk about polyamory, I know you are a psychosocial consultant. Psychosexual consultant.
Do you want to hear a little bit about what that means?
Yes. Tell us a little bit about your background and what that means.
Okay, cool. So I'm here in two different capacities. So as a psychosexual consultant, I do a lot of work in the LGBTI sector, doing a lot of research, documentation, program evaluation. I work for some of the big LGBTI funders. And my second hat that I'm here with today is that I am a polyamorous person, mm-hmm. and I do a lot of work for the poly community, and I'm part of the poly community.
Okay.
I consider myself to be a poly advocate, to bring awareness to this particular very minority community in South Africa.
Okay, so let's jump into polyamory.
Sure.
What, if you can briefly describe to us what polyamory is?
So the kind of wiki definition of polyamory is that it is multiple intimate relationships that happen at the same time with the full informed consent of everybody that is involved.
Mm.
So basically multiple relationships, multiple concurrent relationships, but everybody has agreed to be in those relationships. And intimacy could be anything. So it's not necessarily sexual relationships. It could be romantic, intellectual, financial, spiritual, physical. There's different ways that people connect. So that's the definition, but we can unpack that over the course of the next hour, because that generally is something that boggles people's mind. The way that I like to frame it is that polyamory is a relationship orientation in the same way that monogamy is a relationship orientation. In monogamy, you are oriented towards forming an intimate bond with one person, and in polyamory, you are orientated towards forming bonds with multiple people.
That's actually a very nice way of putting it. That's a very nice way of, because I think it's a little bit easier to understand. Tell us about when and how you discovered you were polyamorous.
So I think it was sometime in my teen years that I realized that I could fall in love with two people at the same time or more.
Okay.
And because I was in a very mononormative society, I thought that there was something very wrong with me. Uh-huh. And it was only in my 20s that I realized that this was potentially a way that I could be in the world,
mm-hmm.
after a lot of self-stigma, a lot of shame, a lot of staying in the poly closet, a lot of cheating on partners, mm. and then being very unhappy because that was not who I considered myself to be. I considered myself to be quite an ethical person. And eventually, at around age 27, I turned around to my partner at the time and said that I'd met this other person and that I wanted to date both of them. And at the time, I thought that I was the most revolutionary person. I was the only ethically non-monogamous Eskimo in my village.
Yeah.
And I went off to go visit a friend of mine and explain to her what I was doing. And she said, oh, yes, polyamory, it's all the rage in Europe now. And I was completely mortified because I thought that I was a really unique individual snowflake.
Dreams dashed.
Yeah, dreams dashed. I was not that special. But that was actually a blessing in disguise because subsequently I got involved with the poly community. And I discovered there was a whole language to try and express my experiences, a lot of relationship experiences. The words that we learn in movies and in love songs and in books is about monogamous relationships. And so discovering the polyamorous community gave me the education and information and support that I needed to learn this vocabulary so that I could negotiate my relationships in a more emotionally mature and ethical manner.
I just love the part about, because I think for a lot of people, polyamory is synonymous with cheating, and I love how you've set out that it's about ethics and it's also about consent. So Everyone involved, there aren't parties that are left in the dark or disadvantaged in a way.
Yes. And polyamory actually forms one part of a bigger umbrella of ethical non-monogamy, because swinging can also form under that umbrella, and open relationships and relationship anarchists. There are all of these different ways that we can relate that aren't monogamous but are ethical. You know, you can cheat in a polyamorous relationship if you don't tell your partners that you are getting involved with somebody on some level. You can cheat if you break the rules of that relationship.
Gay SA Radio.
But back to polyamory, Avery is still with us. And we're talking now about misconceptions about polyamory. I think there are a lot of and that's part of the reason why I was so excited to have Avery on the show, because I believe that there are lots of misconceptions that we can clear up, you know, with someone who's in the know. So let's cover a bit of those. Let's talk about things like jealousy.
Sure. I think that's a really great question, because I think that's people's first concern. You know, if I tell other people I'm polyamorous, generally the most common response is, oh, I could never do that. I'm way too possessive. I could never share. And I think that's quite, like, let's unpack all of that, because that's quite dense. So, yeah. For one thing, polyamorous people can also get jealous.
Yes.
Okay. Jealousy is actually like a syndrome of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you imagine it as a giant ball of elastic bands all wound up together, and you start unpacking that elastic band ball, you'll find that one feeling is envy, one's territoriality, the one's possessiveness, fear, anger, insecurity. So you need to unpack. Why are you feeling so jealous? And what's actually at the root of it? Are you feeling insecure? Do you need some assurances?
Yeah.
I think that a lot of the times we treat jealousy like it's the worst possible feeling that you could possibly ever have. And if your partner ever makes you feel jealous, that you now need to stop them from doing whatever it is that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's kind of like saying we can never feel sad.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just going to stay inside, because sometimes we could get sad.
Okay.
Sometimes you're going to feel negative emotions. And the task in polyamorous relationships, I think in monogamous relationships as well, is to confront those feelings, is to unpack them, to talk about them, and to resolve them, rather than avoiding them and never developing any skills in order to confront and resolve them. So obviously, yes, poly people can get jealous, but we talk about it and we try and resolve it, and we try to get to the root of it, and we try not make our partners responsible for all of our negative feelings, because otherwise you take that big giant ball of elastic bands of feelings and throw it in your partner's face and go, you're making me jealous, stop whatever it is that you're doing, because I can't take responsibility for my emotions. And I think that's quite an unhealthy narrative, which we see all over the place. We actually even see jealousy tutored as a sign of love.
True, that's so true. As in, you should be so flattered that I'm jealous, because it means I care about you.
And is it? Doesn't it actually mean that I feel insecure, or I feel afraid of losing you, or I feel possessive over you because I think that you're an object that belongs to me? It's not a sign of love. It's a sign of some negative emotions that need some attention. Loving somebody, and actually there's a word in the poly dictionary that is the opposite of jealousy. Because if you go look in the dictionary, every word in the dictionary has an antonym, an opposite, except jealousy. So poly people had to actually come up with a word.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's called compersion. When you feel happiness at seeing your partner happy, because they're finding happiness in another relationship. So that's really what we try to strive for. Now, obviously, it sounds very sanitary and clinical and neat and tidy the way I'm talking about it. In practice, there's a lot of messy conversations, a lot of mistakes along the way, a lot of hurting each other's feelings, a lot of not really knowing how to have these conversations or where to start, because there's no role model. There is no Celine Dion singing to us how to have a poly relationship. There's no Titanic which shows us how to negotiate these really complex feelings. In fact, we're really encouraged to believe that our partners should guess and be mind readers about what's going on with us, and that if they're not, then the relationship has somehow failed, and they don't get you.
We're not meant to be together.
Yeah.
Because if you were, you'd know.
You would know. And I think those are really unhealthy assumptions or expectations.
Yeah.
It's a recipe for a lot of disappointment.
Yeah.
And so we really have to get to a point where, whether you're in a poly relationship or a monogamous relationship or some other kind of relationship, you get to the point where you're comfortable identifying your own feelings and communicating them to your partner.
Yeah.
And taking responsibility for it.
Yeah, so it's our work, but any relationship really takes,
takes
work and effort and really a real genuine desire to have that relationship work.
Absolutely. Yeah. All relationships require this work. So that's another misconception around polyamory, that actually we're just a bunch of cheaters and we're whitewashing our cheating by giving it a fancy name.
Yeah.
And no. People really are concerned about all the partners feeling comfortable with the arrangement and are interested in a variety of forms of intimacy. So this is not just about sex.
Yeah.
There are some relationships that don't include sex at all.
Mm-hmm.
But the intimacy, the closeness, we want to talk about our feelings, we want to get deep. And if it does involve sex, that's fine too. But it's not only about sex. So if you are looking to explore your polyamorous side, but actually what you're wanting to do is to have lots and lots of sexual partners, you might need to talk about that's your relationship expectation, that you want a sexual relationship with multiple partners, because those other partners might have a different relationship expectation. They might want to have a romantic relationship or an intellectual relationship or a spiritual one. So that's all comes down to the communication. So much communication. If you think that there is lots of communication required in a monogamous relationship, like times it by bazillions with every new relationship that you add into the network.
Yeah.
I think another misconception is the idea that this is actually a whole movement or a whole orientation that is geared towards men.
Okay, that is interesting. Let's talk about that.
Because, I mean, there's a patriarchal assumption that men just want to be out there sowing their wild oats.
Yes.
And they want a harem of women.
Yeah.
And I think that by itself is a problematic assumption.
Yeah.
But actually, polyamory has got quite feminist roots.
Yeah.
A lot of the researchers, a lot of the advocates are women. It has also got a lot of LGBTQIA plus whole alphabet soup roots. It's about empowerment. It's about being able to negotiate the relationship that you want to be in, that is not dictated to by gender norms, by heterosexism, by a patriarchal culture. It's about connecting genuinely, authentically, and sincerely with another human being in a way that you want, free of societal norms about how a relationship should look.
Mm. And you've touched on something there about curiosity. I'll admit I've had this idea of polycuriosity as a kind of fetishization, but I think maybe, you know, there's a healthier aspect to maybe polycuriosity as well. So what are your feelings about polycuriosity?
I think that any kind of curiosity is probably a healthy thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you do with that curiosity that counts.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're curious about polyamory, then educate yourself about what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Go read. There's lots of information on the internet. There is a South African organization called ZA Poly.
Yes.
And if you want to go and check them out, it's www.polyamory.co.za. And there's lots of links. There is a mailing list. There you can ask your questions. I just want to make this disclaimer. It is not a dating site. It is not a pickup zone.
Very important.
It is a discussion and support space for people that are wanting to find out more information about polyamory and people that might be in some sort of polyamorous structure and would like support and would like to hear from other people who are in polyamorous relationships and how they're negotiating the everyday challenges of a relationship.
Mm.
So I think that if you're curious, go educate yourself. You know, you need to be careful about using people as experiments, because these are live people, these, you know, real hearts, real minds. If you're curious, be honest about that. You know,
okay.
It's another big principle in polyamory is honesty.
Yeah.
You know, and there are layers of honesty, because sometimes we think we're being honest, but if we really, really went away and thought about it, we realize that it's we're not being as honest as we could be.
Yeah.
So be honest about it.
Gay SA Radio.
We're back with Every Spilkum. That was Tory Lanez with Love. That is my ultimate summer jam. I was whining in the studio as always. You know, last week I was whining. So I always whine when I hear that song. So just don't mind me. And before that, we had Divine with You Think You're a Man. Yes. Okay. That's such a read. That song is such a read. Okay. But before we were talking a little bit about polycuriosity, but now I want to move on to the LGBTI. So how do the LGBTI feature with polyamory? I don't think there's always a representation of that, you know, that's not something we see all the time. So where do poly and LGBTI meet?
So, okay, it's a quite a complex question. So I'll start with ZA okay. Poly. Okay, so ZA Poly has got support spaces in Durban, Johannesburg and Cape Town, and all of those spaces are inclusive. So the facilitators of those spaces have all been sensitized in how to speak about and to LGBTQI plus people. My personal experience and the research says that quite a lot of poly people have some form of fluidity, okay. Whether it's gender fluidity or mm-hmm. sexual orientation fluidity. Not always. There are some cishet people. But quite a few members of the South African polyamorous community have got various different types of identities. So yeah. Some are trans, some are bisexual, some are pansexual, some are asexual, some identify as genderqueer.
Yeah.
And so there are quite a lot of crossovers. The research is quite interesting because a lot of the research has actually been conducted on LGBTQIA plus communities rather than on heterosexual populations.
Wow.
So about 20-30% of the LGBTI community are identify as polyamorous. So according to American studies, there are no South African studies.
Okay.
And it's higher amongst gay men. So there are a lot of crossovers. Mm-hmm. I think one of the reasons why we lack visibility is because the poly spaces might be perceived as straight spaces.
Yes. That is definitely my perception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have tried to advertise and as being inclusive and diverse aware.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, polyamory is still a growing identity and community in South Africa, and I'm sure that over the next few years that's something that will change and there will be more visibility of the LGBTQIA plus the whole alphabet soup within poly spaces. Or, and this is something I would definitely encourage the LGBT alphabet soup community to do, is to create poly spaces that are exclusively LGBTQIA plus. It all depends on what people would feel more comfortable with. There are crossovers. There are people with multiple identities that are polyamorous and bisexual, or polyamorous and trans, or, you know, so it's there. What we're struggling at the moment to do is to find venues and spaces that people feel comfortable coming to and knowing that it's available to them because it is a mixture of people of different orientations and different gender identities all in one space. And I know that can be quite scary for some people to go in there and wonder, okay, is my gender identity going to be respected in this space because it's not exclusively, say, a trans space?
Yeah.
So we try as much as possible to sensitize community members on using correct gender pronouns,
yeah.
on not making homophobic remarks, and slowly but surely, I think that the poly spaces are becoming very inclusive, very intersectional, very welcoming. And I really would encourage LGBTI people to go and access those spaces. And if you have any issues, to absolutely tell the facilitator what those issues are, because ZA Poly is very open to learning and improving yeah. itself.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's important to be open to criticism sometimes, to yeah, be open yeah. to people out there need, people you might not be able to identify with right then and there.
Yeah.
Oh, I think another important point to address, I just want to go back a little bit to misconceptions, and this is something that we get a lot within the LGBTI community, definitely. You will always be asked, but what about the children?
Yes, what about the children?
What so, are we supposed to think?
I think that the modern conception of marriage is relatively recent. the idea of a two-headed adult household taking care of a brood of children is a fairly recent understanding of marriage or how to do child rearing.
Yes.
So say 100 years. Before that, it was kinship networks, aunts, uncles, etc., all helping to raise children. And about 10,000 years ago, monogamy didn't really exist. Polyamory was the norm. I think that when it comes to child rearing, the more adults there are around, the more financial security there is, the more hands on deck in order to do the tasks of child rearing, and the more influences and ideas that that child will be brought up with. Of course, it completely depends on the people that are involved in those polyamorous relationships, about how they're going to handle child rearing, how involved they want their partners in their involved in their family life.
Yeah.
But I think the real question there is it damaging to children?
Yes.
Are they going to be brought up warped in some way? And the research says no. Children in polyamorous relationships or families are brought up in as healthy a way as children that grow up in monogamous relationships. So it's we don't need to worry about the children. The children are okay. If the parents are good parents and they love their kids, their relationship orientation, just like their sexual orientation, doesn't really feature.
Okay, Avery. We're about to wrap up with Avery. She's been such a beacon of light for us, shedding light on polyamory. Right now, though, I'm going to play, not now, but a little bit later, I'm going to play you some Rihanna. I'm going to play you some Katy Perry. Now, those two are friends. As we all know, we're going to play a little Sledgehammer, a little I Kissed a Girl. But we're going to pay the bills, and then we're going to, me and Avery are going to have a sip of water. You know, this has been it's a lot to take in for someone like me.
Sure.
Because I was so blind for, and I, you know, I thought I was in this know it all. I thought I knew everything. So after that, we're going to talk a little bit about how to meet other polyamorous people.
Gay SA Radio.
We're going to wrap up with Avery right now. Avery, let's talk a little bit about stigma.
Sure. Really important. Unlike sexual orientation, relationship orientation is not a protected class in South Africa's constitution.
Yeah.
There is a lot of mononormativity out there, a lot of assumptions and stigma towards people that engage in consensual non-monogamy. And that can mean going to your psychologist or your healthcare provider and being told that there's something wrong with you, that you have a mental disorder, that you have commitment problems, that you are a sex addict. There's a lot of bad ideas around what polyamorous people actually are, which makes it difficult to come out. I'm quite privileged, very lucky that when I did come out, my family was incredibly accepting and very understanding and just had some questions, and they've supported me and they've supported my partner as well. But not everybody is like that, and people can stand to risk custody of their children, their jobs, their where they're living, because they come out as polyamorous. In many of the ways that LGBTQIA plus people experience and stigma, so do polyamorous people.
Absolutely.
And so my message is, before you judge what a polyamorous person is about, just talk to them. Ask questions. Go online and educate yourself about it. Be careful of if you're a healthcare provider, for instance, asking, do you have a partner? But to be able to say, do you have partners? You know, tell me about the intimate relationships that you have. And not to assume that somebody who is in a polyamorous relationship has something that's wrong with their commitment. Because commitment is not just the domain of monogamy. People in polyamorous relationships can have long-term committed relationships, just like people in monogamous relationships. And there are people in monogamous relationships that aren't committed to their partners. Commitment is being having a loyalty towards your partner, and that doesn't mean being sexually or emotionally exclusive. So there's that's one thing. Stigma and discrimination, it's real. Try and be a little bit understanding, and also take care of yourself if you're a polyamorous person, because it can be very alienating and make you feel very lonely if you are the subject of that type of discrimination and stigma. Reach out to the community, get support, you know, call your healthcare professional out on their stigma and tell them to get educated, tell them to get in contact with ZA Poly. You know, we're here for you, you're not alone. So I just wanted to say that. I think before we like close off, I just wanted to quickly talk about some of the challenges besides for stigma and discrimination.
Because polyamory is not a magic pill.
It's not a magic pill. Yeah. It is not going to fix your relationship. If anything, it will explode your relationship if you go into polyamory going, okay, I'm just going to find another partner to fix the cracks in my current relationship. It is a it's a relationship orientation that even if you are orientated towards that, you need to develop your communication skills. Mm-hmm. You need to get comfortable in your own skin and get comfortable with your feelings and get comfortable articulating those feelings to your partners.
Mm-hmm.
And get comfortable volunteering information that you feel that the other person should know. This is not a magic pill. It can be very challenging. It can be very demanding. If anything, I have learned how to be a better human being from making all the mistakes and from messing up and from seeing how it's hurt the other people that I'm in relationships with, and learning how to be a more accountable human being in relationships.
Okay, last 10 seconds.
Yes.
Last 10 seconds. How do we contact Avery? How do we contact ZA Poly? Once more for us.
Okay, so it's www.polyamory.co.za.
Mm-hmm.
They are a website. Get a hold of them. Sign up to their mailing list. They will also direct you to their Facebook groups.
Mm-hmm.
There are different Facebook groups for them. So some people that are more in established relationships and some people that are just wanting to find out more information. An introduction to poly.
Gay SA Radio.